Smivy, this episode of Ain't That Swell is brought to you by Billabong, brother. And Billabong presents Ain't That Swell live from the Torquay Hotel. The Torquay Pub. Are you kidding me? Have you copped our guest list on this one, bruh?
It's pretty fucking jacked, rinsed corn, as jacked as it gets.
Yeah.
There is the femme goat herself, a vortex shaman, a 99 Lazarus-like world title winner.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else I've forgotten?
That's it for now, and I'll tell you what, Oki, Robbo, and the Queen, Steph, after 10 years of doing this potty, we finally got Steph to a live show. Cannot wait, mate. Tickets available, ain'tthatswell.com. Just click on through. There's also a link on our Instagram bio, mate. But don't miss it, Swellians. Make sure you're there. It's going to be a ripper afternoon, 4 p.m. start. And big thanks to Billabong. Always support Ain't That Swell. Fucking legends.
On you.
Competition surfing. Rashes.
Nerdism. Yes, welcome to Blitzed Pure Tour Nerdism. Vaughn, the Peniche Pro at Super Tubes there in Portugal, is a wrap. And look, mate, a barely watchable beach break, crapshoot at times, couple of windows of cones, fun day at that right wedge up the beach. But overall, pretty hard graft for the Woz and its competitors. Scored pretty low on the shot rating. S for Skits, H for Hamad, A for Are You Kidding Me?
Yep.
And T for Torture. Plenty of torture in this one. Had to give it a 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Wow, generous.
I kind of was generous. It was initially a 2.5, but on reflection and looking at a couple of the pits on offer. And look, you know, in all honesty, I do kind of enjoy these comps, but the novelty wears thin, just like small waves themselves. You know, beach break kind of jumbly conditions. It's fun for a little bit. But 3 to 4 days of competition and, mate, my patience has worn very thin. At times, though, was pretty enjoyable, especially when it started and you had those kind of three-man heats. You were watching the condensed heats. And, you know, every heat was like a hi-fi video section, just seeing the world's best do their beach break wizardry in the kind of sectiony, junky cons that we surf most of the time. I found that pretty enthralling. But as I said, it just gets fucking old, man.
Yeah.
Like, you need some truth.
Ugh. Mate, look, it's been a good start for the Woz. Real good start. You know, Pipe, excellent. Sunset, excellent. Portugal, you're just rolling the dice. As you say, it's a crapshoot. See, the snake eyes, sevens, fucking down the black hole your coin goes when you start rolling on those tables in Vegas, bruh. But, yeah, I don't know. I gave it a 2.8. I got into the nitty-gritty because I was like, is it a 3 out of 5? Is it got 3 shat pebbles in it? No, not for me, but it was close. I liked it the same reason as you did, though, mate. Like, when you can relate to the surf and you can see what these elite athletes do on that sort of, you know, punchy fucking... It's exactly what most people who live on a fucking beach here surfing. Just a kind of a wave that might throw you a shoulder every now and again. You're catching a lot of closeouts. You're just hunting out any possibility. And getting to see them go at it can be fun for sure. It just lacked the pure froth, Smithy. The froth glands, you know, they weren't just working their way into a nice big bucket of the good stuff. They were being milked. They were being milked extremely hard. And I don't know, I feel like my... you know, froth teats, if you will, had been really worked over. You know those old dogs? Sometimes you see them, Smith, and their nipples, they've had like 6 or 8 litters. Their nipples are just absolutely chewed to smithereens. It looks like bits of rank biltong hanging off it. That's kind of what my froth glands look like after this one. God knows I tried. And as you say, there were definitely some moments. But the overall feel was, just one of like... Oh, I just wish there was just a bit more. Just a bit more, yeah. You kind of, you know that Super Tubes can throw up good kegs. We saw that. But it's just such a funky wave, isn't it? It's sort of, it's tide can rip through it. Rips can rip through it. You can have a sick looking setup 1 minute. Next minute, it's dog shit and you're sort of hunting for another opportunity up or down the beach. So,
those huge tidal swings, playing havoc with the lineup. It was a strange
combo. Wind affected. Just,
I don't think I've ever seen more kinds of wave in the one event. You had the kind of junky onshore, cross shore, just peaky closeouts built for big punts and the odd kind of two hit. Combo. The right wedge. You had this kind of long rip bowl that Ethan Ewing was picking off. You had a couple of tubes, couple of windows into what super tubes can do.
Yeah.
But over the course of that event, it really threw up every kind of conceivable beach break condition in the one event. It was wild.
Yeah. And I do like those little glassy sort of shorey days where you were actually finding those corners or good little running barrels. Like, that surf, I enjoy surfing. So I really love watching John and Gabe go at that sort of conditions.
Geez, the right wedge looked fun.
Didn't it?
Holy smokes.
Right wedge, yeah, real nice.
I could surf a supercharged little 3-foot right wedge. My hair was on fire. Got a couple around up here and they're always good fun. But yeah, like I said, the novelty wears thin after a while.
But 2.8 is, all things considered, and you can't blame the Waz. The Waz are just turning up. They've got their spot. They've thrown them out there. Could have been worse. So that's why I'm on the north side of the halfway mark there for my shat rating, Smithy.
Best wave, Vaughn. A few contenders in here. Look, the conventional wisdom says the highest single wave score would be the best wave. And, look, it may well have been. Griffin Colapinto's effort in the final just to slam the door shut in Ewing's face. A 9.67 for an absolute nugget of a left. Some, proper super tubes juice. Just a little cherry on top of the event. It was a nice way for the Waz to sign off and for Griff to sign off on what was a challenging event. That big delayed deep grab rail bottom turn to set up the tube. He was so patient and it was such a strong and committed line to get himself deep and through a handful of chandeliers. For the 9.67, which Strider was claiming was a 10. Geez, he was throwing a bit of juice the Californians' way, Strider. He was going to be parochial old Stridesy, bruh. Pipe down!
Didn't he? Stridesy, bruh. Just firing mayo just at all the Californians. God bless him, though. I mean, you need that froth. You've got to have that froth. If you're commentating those events, why not ramp it up, mate? But, well played, Strider. Well played, Strides. Just watch that mayo gun, mate.
Mate, it was cool. No, I think it was the first wave in that final. Griff did like a one regulation backside Rio. Didn't pop the fins out or anything. I think it was a one-turn wave, maybe, but a little kind of foam right off the end. And Strider's claiming that one turn was going into the excellent range. Coming in as a 6.67.
He's just rubbing.
Turn it up, Stridesy, bruh.
Rubbing the massage oil all over it.
Kidding me?
Love it.
Put the mayo gun away. Yeah. But, a couple other waves in the convo, Vaughn. Jack Robbo's full rote early on in the piece. Crazy down the line speed and just launches right out of that juicy bowl, semi-tubing section and gets mega hang time. Spots the landing perfectly, but comes down on top of the lip and it kind of just kind of buckled under him and he got trapped in there and didn't ride out clean, hence why the score only came in at a high 8. But, man, that thing was juicy. And it was buttery.
Yeah, I loved it. I remember seeing it and just thinking, you beauty, here's the Vortex Shaman. He takes off, takes off all about the Vortex, lands Oop Guru. He's the new spiritual Oop Master. There were some sick Oops in this comp, actually, but that was, for mine, the best one. And I don't know, mate. How good was the pre-heat breath work on the beach? Did you cop it?
I did. I actually did a bit of that last night with Brett Bircher, and it's interesting because we were kind of thinking it was Wim Hof related, but actually that nasal breathing technique is all about kicking the parasympathetic, like the adrenaline-charged aspect of your central nervous system into gear and getting you right up for the fight. It kind of sends you into a really heightened, super-focused, locked-in state. So that was an interesting little insight from Birch last night.
That's cool. Yeah, well, I just thought, like, when he was sitting on the beach there, it just looked like he was one of those free divers with a hook line, you know, down on the hooker, line all the way to the top of Mount Kailishi, just sucking in the cosmic fumes. And fuck, didn't he get high, mate? He came in enlightened, the great Vortex Shaman. Can't wait to get him on the show. I was thinking we should get him to lead the entire crowd that arvo on a full-blown preheat breathwork sesh.
That would be mental.
Don't you reckon that would be mental? Like, really get on the huff and puff and just see how high we can go with Jack into the cosmic apricot sphere.
Watch out for the fizz coming out of the nostrils of our loyal swellings in the crowd. I don't know what will start dripping out of the nasal cavities.
How good, though, eh? Yeah, but, yep, the Vortex Shaman, not his best event, but just looking so solid.
No, and look, got knocked by Medina, who was on an absolute tear, mate.
Didn't he come out of this ISA World Games, Olympic qualification in the bag, ISA gold medal in pocket, and ready to rip heads off.
Holy smokes. How about the rotations backside and frontside that he was pulling, you know, putting on an absolute clinic in consistent high-velocity rotations. He had a 9 against Leo Fioravanti for a backside helicopter. Like, he gets that flat spin. He gets heaps of pop, but it's a real flat spinning variety of a full rope and just, like, sticks it with ease straight into a backside snap. He's on another planet in conditions like
that. The cush, mate. The cush. How's the cush on him? Like, when he lands, it's just cush. The way that he can transition straight out of Mondo Rotasmos like that and just push it down and straight into his next turn is without peer.
And then in that heat against Leo, by the way, fucking ripping, sticking everything in, I think it was the quarters.
Yeah.
Surfing amazing, but still just got absolutely lapped by Medina.
Pumped.
Dropped a 9 at the start for that big backside rotor, and then another 9 on the buzzer just for this savage frontside hack attack.
Yeah.
Just to prove his versatility. And, yeah, Robbo fell victim. I think it was to a big frontside rotor from Medina. How's the speed he generates down the line? Like, it is NASA astronaut training facility spec. Like, the skin is ripping back off his skull as he widens his stance and just jets. And that little kind of cut-off bottom turn, half-bottom turn, washes none of that speed off and just fucking sends it into the stratosphere. Really, only Italo seems to hold a candle to him in terms of that down the line speed. Just hucked into those vicious rotations, and then just buttery landing straight into hacks. I mean, a lot of those turns are pretty inconsequential after the aerial, but the judges just love seeing that transition, don't they?
Yeah, no, it was a pretty mesmerising performance by Gabe, brought undone, which I'm sure we'll get into in a moment, by the eventual comp winner. But, such a good thing to see, you know, the weapon, the mongrel, the fucking, the cyborg, the machine just kick back into gear and full-blown Terminator spec too, you know, like, it will not stop. It will kill you. It will not stop until you are just a pile of dust and broken dreams, lying in a contest rashy, washing up on the shore at Peniche. Fuck, I loved it, eh? Like, I find it so interesting, Smithy, how, you know, your villains turn into your heroes. Like, Gabe, like, when, I don't know, the Mick Joel and, you know, when that generational change was happening, was so hard to get behind. Freakish talent, maybe a bit scary, the unknown. But, I just love watching him just go full rogue now.
Geez, they needed this event, the Brazilians, didn't they?
Oh, they
that
did.
Was a really mediocre start to the year, and they just got the chance to surf themselves into some form in the kind of conditions that suit them to a T in a country where, you know, they're speaking their native tongue. Couldn't have come a moment too soon for Medina.
Agreed.
So I don't know who your pick was for the best wave. My thoughts, I think just for pure consistency and the volume of psycho maneuvers, Medina gets it for me.
I had Robbo down as my favorite turn just because, you know, Vortex Shaman, etc. Proud flag waving patriot over here, just fucking getting in behind the Aussies. But I thought that Medina was fucking just freakish. But I also had Griffin just for the pure, just the pure timing of the guy, mate. Like every, even though he stuck to his guns, he had his plan. I'm just going to attack this backhand pretty much religiously. Every turn was a thing of beauty. Like I didn't really get worn out by the repetitiveness of Griff just loading up off the bottom and just pushing it through that pocket hard. And, you know, sometimes pulling it quick, pulling it down into that tight snap, other times blowing the fins out, but every time coming out of it with speed and usually into a combo. And yeah, I thought there was a lot to like there from Griff too. So yeah.
Best heat, the Ewing versus Griffin final for mine. Edge of your seat staff with the Californian prodigy closing out the heat with a cosmic cone, as mentioned. Best wave or highest scoring wave of the event to slam the door shut. The heat unfolded like this. Griff, kicked off proceedings with a pretty meat and potatoes vert, backside Rio, didn't drive through it, didn't get the fins out, but that didn't stop Strides, he brushed, sipping on that electric Kool-Aid and throwing excellent at it. 667 obviously came in, so as discussed, Griff builds his house with a 7.1 for a nice backside hit to float combo, and that leaves Ethan sitting on a pair of twos, 10 minutes in. Takes until the 18th minute mark for Ethan to properly open his account of a huge backside blast to fin drift straight into a deep bottom turn and another big hit on a backwashing closeout section for a 7.4. And it's fucking game on at this point. The Aussie only needs a 6.73 to take the lead and really test out Griffin's mindfulness, which we had a fascinating insight into. I like how he had the kind of aeroplane,
the goggles
on,
yeah,
and the noise cancelling headphones just blocking it all out.
There was a great little take on that on Green Room Times where you get to see what's inside those goggles. It's an episode of Teletubbies.
Well played.
He's been dropping some clangers lately, but that was a beauty.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it was the Stratty style master who had a bit of a mental melt. He had two bites at the cherry to overtake Griff in that middle part of the heat. First was a big frontside Rio into a closeout hit, which he overcooked and blew, basically. And then, a more conservative approach on that second hit might have just gotten the score and put Griff under a bit of pressure. He finds a left, Ethan, not long after that. Big backside Rio, then falls on the floater. Again, probably would have had the score. Snake was just, you know, he had that kind of the nub tingles. He was pulling out hair that wasn't even there. He was just that rattled. Interesting, too, to see the two ex-tour journeyman, veteran mates, you know, travelling partners, Snake and Tommy Witts with their respective charges in the final.
Classic.
And sharing space, watching the heat together, which was, I don't know how they do that, how they shelve the emotions. But, there was plenty of emotion on offer as Ethan failed to come up with the goods there. Griff seized on that momentum shift and found a nice little frontside tube and dropped a hammer of an end section tail drift for an 8.27, which was pretty well curtains at that point. But just to ram home the fact, he finds that nice left nugget. And that was definitely all she wrote. So that was my best heat. But a shout out to the Idolo versus Matty McGillivray round of 32 matchup. Both surfers cashing in huge totals. Highest scoring heat of the event, I believe. Italo winning with a 17-plus total to Maddie's 15-plus. Italo, very reminiscent of Medina's approach, just flying down the line of that wide stance and hucking himself to buggery, or sucking himself to buggery, as I've got here in my notes. That's an auto spell gone wrong.
Uh-oh.
So... what did you make of it all, Vaughn?
Look, I loved the final just simply because it built once Ethan got into it. Like, you could feel that there was might have been an upset on the cards. I was just watching the Manly Roosters game yesterday, similar situation. Seemed like one team was just dominant, heavily dominant, pumping the other team ridiculously. And then all of a sudden, Roosters were back in the game. And it felt like that could have happened in this heat. Griffin, though, as I said earlier, his momentum and the way that he went through, you know, Medina and Ethan to get this win, it says a lot about, sort of, you know, the sink that he's feeling. Obviously, has had a pretty good start to the year. Really good if he's in the gold jersey now, leaving Portugal. So that's pretty cool. I still like the Colapinto Medina heat just because of the weight that sits with those two when they paddle out. Like only a John Medina heat would kind of carry the same sort of thing, or a Robbo Medina heat, which we got but never really hit firework status. Medina gets that wave at the end. You know, he needs like an 8.33 or something. And it was the first time all event that I didn't see him fully go into just rampage mode. It was weird, man. Like, he does this kind of really good snap. It's high speed. He comes out of it and kind of almost gets stuck behind a section. And then he does like a couple of, like you said, inconsequential finners and a little snap and all this. But I don't know, man. I just don't know if the Gabby of old would have gone way harder at that. So that was the only little kink I saw in his armour for that whole event. That was my favourite heat. But the final was very enjoyable.
Interesting when Gabby gets behind, he goes into this kind of feverish manic mode where he scours the lineup, taking off on anything and just throwing as much shit at the wall as he can, hoping something will stick. You know, just hucking punt after punt after punt. He never looks likely when he gets into that mood. The only thing that looks likely is, you know, with each failed attempt at a big aerial, it seems like the percentages of him actually sticking something of value drop, but the percentages of him getting injured go up. And we've seen that happen in the past against Cal Robson in Brazil. And
such a good point, man.
It's not a strategy that looks calm or measured. It looks like panic to me.
You've brought up something that I don't know if I've ever even heard it touched on before, and that's that when Gabby's on, he sticks those waves in the moment, under pressure, every time. And I don't know if he's always in the lead. I'd love to see the stats on that. But when he's on a heater, he doesn't look rushed. Like, everything looks really intentional. When he starts getting behind and he starts just getting into that panic mode, I think his make rate must drop immensely to be in that sort of weird state. And I wonder if Griff could sense that. You know, like, if you're so tuned into where you're at and what's going on, surely you're also picking up when the energy on the other side of the fence isn't quite calm and peaceful and backing itself. You know, there'd be a little bit of that frenzied panic. And sharks can smell it, Smitty. They can smell panic in the water, mate. We all know it.
And when you're going down the line at that speed and just hucking yourself willy-nilly, like, mate, you are moving at serious G-forces and the chances of injury just start stacking up and stacking up. There was a couple of big frontside rotors that he landed so awkwardly, and I thought I'd seen it. I thought, oh, my God, he's done his knee here for sure, and obviously came through. But, mate, that's just pure luck, the fact that he wasn't injured.
Well, I think the signs are mostly positive for Gabe out of this event. Like, a huge leap up the rankings. Like, he's well and truly above the cut line now. He's never done well at Bell's. I don't think he's ever rung the bell. So there's a big carrot there. It's, his home sponsor's event. He'll be heading there feeling pretty good about his turnaround in form, Smitty. So, I don't know. I think mostly he'll take away positives from this event.
Vaughn, biggest melt. Well, he wasn't actually in the event, but he probably should have been. DeGoat Kelly Slater getting busted, chucking a sickie at Kira.
Oh wow.
I mean, you've just got to be better than that, Rinsecorn.
Is this your biggest surprise?
Oh, this is my melt. Fair play to the GOAT. Look, it's a card he's played many times in the past. Skipping J-Bay to surf Fiji in 2011, ditching Karamas for Cloudbreak in 2018, and Brazil for No Kandui in 2022, but this one was kind of heavy, given that he's, you know, taken up an injury wild card, depriving a young upstart their opportunity at a full season on tour. And ultimately, look, you know, it's Smitty here. Like, if you're going to flag work to surf, you're never going to cop a serve from me. But you've got to do something to throw off, don't you? Like a disguise of some sort. He's got a pretty iconic silhouette, you know, let's be real. But, maybe he could have taken a leaf out of Mr. X's book, Glenn Winson with the full gimp suit, or at least come up with a better excuse than a bad hip, because
hip didn't look too sore in those cylindrical cones out Kira, mate.
Dude, look, and even so, like, it was half believable in the cone until he ripped off that clinical end section roundhouse to rebound.
Yeah.
And then you just, like, at that point, you're like, oh, no, this is a flagrant piss take. He is pissing all over the proud prestige of the WSL here and the World Tour. That was a bit of a melt for me. The pickle, you know, going down in the round of 16 heat to Gabriella Bryan, just couldn't get out of first gear. In that kind of rippable right wedge, it just seemed like pretty purpose-built cons for the pickle to do well. But, yeah, just one of those heats, I guess. Out of rhythm. Gabriella Bryan, look, there was a couple of savage meat hacks from her. Gee, she can lay into it. But, yeah, I don't know. That was a bit of a melt. Should have gone a bit deeper.
And also, you know, when you're waiting 20 minutes to get away, at some point your plan B has to kick in. I never doubt Micro, ever. You want me to doubt Micro? It ain't happening, Smithy. Not here, not ever. But I think there was some sort of miscommunication or some sort of just blip or glitch in the plan there, because that was a long time to wait. And, of course, she pulls the trigger and Gabby's on the best wave of the heat right behind her. So, yeah, that's a – like, you back Molly and Micro to have plans for every single scenario. Like, you know that that's probably been in their conversation at some point, but it went to water a bit from then. Molly's best wave came in the last stages of the heat to get back into it, but I don't know, mate. It didn't look like the Molly of the first two events in that particular instance. Mate, what about Arkell? Oh, the heartbreak. Like, if you want to talk pure melt, he goes from, like, the best result he's ever had at Sunset to ramping, wedging, left cone into fucking closeout section, just custom-made for Arkell surf, and ends up with a fucking elimination round exit, mate, dead last. Like, oh, that crushed me. That actually crushed me. I had him to win. Lobby didn't do a whole lot better. Round of 32 exit. And especially after Burley had just won the ABB finals. Did he stay up too late? Is that what happened? He was just...
Mate, you're not far off there, because...
Was he up just in the wee hours? Well, just like...
Chatting to him before he left Hawaii, he was in for the most raucous leg of travel, basically going from Hawaii back to Australia for 48 hours. So that's a 10-hour flight back to Oz, collecting boards, and then... going to Europe, which is, what, a 24-hour flight? And I actually think that explains a lot about how poor the Australians performed here. Mm. I know Callum Robson did the same thing.
Another 32, mate. The Aussie grit merchants got fucking cleaned out.
I just don't think that's realistic to kind of be doing that sort of travel and thinking that you can perform at your peak. Like, mate, imagine how discombobulated your system is, your immune system. Like, I don't know how these guys... stay healthy during, like, I would just be sick and run down and sniffly and fucked up. You're going from the tropics to the tropics to frigid European winter. Like the jet lag, it's like compound jet lag. Hawaii to Australia, Australia to Europe. Man, these guys must be spinning.
Brutal. So no sardines on toast for the Aussie grit merchants, mate. Just a bucket of old fucking sardine remains.
Except for one Vaughn, and he was close to my best performance. Ethan Ewing, obviously Griffin took out the event and he was the standout from start to finish, but I just thought Ewing, like, finaling there, given that travel requirement as we were just discussing, and also the way he managed to keep pace with the Brazilians and get himself to the final, his round of 16 win over Italo would be particularly satisfying given the conditions on offer. You wouldn't think that he could compete in punchy beach breaks like that, but he was finding nicely tapered rip bowl rights and just dismantling them on rail like only he can. So a runner-up is a massive result and really hard-earned for the
Smitty,
Aussie.
I'd love to get your take on this. Do you even think that ETH has come out of second gear yet? Like, I'm looking at his run through the first three events of the year, right? And don't get me wrong, don't confuse out of second gear for not trying, because I believe he's fucking ripping the absolute tits off this tour so far. Like, my favourite turn of this entire year is that roundhouse he did at Sunset. Just fucking, thing of absolute pure beauty. Massage it into my eyes, Smithy. I'm ready. But I just feel like he is just idling, mate. He's number two in the world. And look what's coming up. The event that he fucking won last year, open ocean water, just moving in big, thick fucking lines out of the Southern Ocean and out of the Indian Ocean with Margs. I feel like he's about to drop the clutch and fire that V8, mate. I reckon we're going to be here, the fucking roar of EE Hewings engine full bore down at Bills. I'm just praying for waves.
Put this guy on his front sight with plenty of push where all he has to do is really focus on placement and timing, and, mate, he's near unbeatable. It's almost impossible to see him being beaten. Only John Florence for mine will be able to come up with the X factor to really put Ethan to the sword. But
Robbo has a bit of X factor in there too, and I feel like he's on his day, and that's the kind of thing I'm waiting from Eth. Like, we've seen Medina light one up now. We've seen Robbo light it up at sunset. Like, when does he drop that clutch and fucking have one of those performances where you're just pulling your hair out?
It's just the consistency of Ewing in those conditions.
That's what I mean.
He never falters. He never bogs.
He's so strong.
He's just so strong and surgical, and he's just surfing as good as you can ever imagine in your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
It's just a thing of beauty. It's Fenning and Curran combined.
TB, it's got a touch of everyone in there, man. AOI obviously always gets the likeness there, but there's so many other fucking all-time natural footers in the way that he's surfing.
And that's why this was such a big result for him, because the conditions just did not suit him, and he still managed to fashion a runner-up there. So he was my best performance. And obviously a nod to Medina too.
For sure.
Breakthrough Vaughn. I actually went with Tyler Wright here, just shaking off an awful start to the year to final at Portugal and put herself well beyond the cut and right back in that final five convo. She's just so versatile, powerful and fast twitch in beach break conditions, and it was all on show here.
Yeah, and the upstarts got a fair bit of come up into this one, mate. And a good little reminder as you go into a full season, especially with the cut line starting to lurk, don't count out. I mean, don't worry, mate. I was fucking on the bus waving the flag. The doomsday fucking had begun. The old war horses were heading to the glue factory as far as I was concerned, Smithy. But you take these veterans lightly, and they will expose you. They will bully you, man. Like, look at the top four in this one. Taddy, Joanne, Tyler, Lakey. Like, a little reminder to those young women who are thinking that, the world has turned and those dinosaurs have been wiped out by the comet. Like, it ain't over just yet. So, watch out. Tyler Wright, for so long now. Mate, I didn't realise, but she had a very invasive mouth surgery to correct her teeth. So, like, you would have seen her wearing braces in a lot of the photos and stuff. So, on top of, like, just everything that she's been doing with personal growth, she had this really full-on procedure go down as well.
Mate,
so,
and
look at
no
her just... look at her building, building back into full-time tour life and building back into, this next chapter of her career. Pretty wild shit, man. Terrifying. And I don't think that, the Mollies and the Katies and the Carolines are going to have it all their own way for the back half of this season.
Mate, those facial surgeries are hectic. They are so uncomfortable on the backside of them. You're just like, I don't know, you're on the soup diet. And look, mate,
it was like a lot of corrective dental work, maybe. Oh. So, full on. But, mate, Tyler Wright also defending Bell's champion. Don't forget that. And she loves it down there. Been going down there with her family since they were just tackers, mate. They'd all sleep in the bus on the top looking down over Bell's. It means a lot to them. So, stay tuned. Tyler Wright on the come up.
Geez, the Australian onion's looking pretty strong,
isn't
too.
It?
Plenty of event winners and runner-ups. We've had a horse in every final so far.
Very good. But in saying that, mate, bit of a worry for the Aussie women in this event. They got cleaned out. I mean, other than our Olympians, Molly and Tyler, everyone copped that round of 16 knockout. So that's a bit of a worry considering all those women are also below the cut line. Time to get busy for Isabella, our Sal, India Robinson. Who else is in there? There's a couple more. Sophie McCulloch, who I love, North Shore represent. Yeah, just need to make sure these next two events at home, on home ground, kind of, matter.
You mentioned not to underestimate the veterans, Vaughn. Well, my biggest surprise was an absolute veteran of the highest order. Joan Giroux, the meat and potatoes, French journeyman, making the quarterfinals with surfing as stale as a year-old baguette. Full credit to him. Knows how to jam a couple of lead-footed backside hangers on a wishy-washy European beach break. Can you imagine how many reps he's done of that in his time?
Good old Joanne Giroux. Well done, sir.
Well played. Bush. Well played.
Bravo.
Yeah. Got pretty drained in his round of 32 win over Baron Mia, then knocked Rio Wider before coming up against Griffin in the quarters and getting knocked. But it's a sole performance from the French journeyman.
Is he in the Olympic team? Is he serving for France? I don't know.
Jeez, I don't know.
Probably not. Collie Vast is in there. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But yeah, and really nice. Smithy, really nice to see Hamsi Boukaim just stretch out those limbs and fucking kablamo a few seggies, mate. There's a few surfers on tour who, when they take off, you sit back, you fold your arms and you go, just let's watch this for a sec because this is going to be real nice. And he did not disappoint. So good to see Ramsey just, like, I guess just do what he does so well, and that is just fucking detonate on the backhand. Proper enjoyed Ramsey in this one.
What does it all mean? Well, it means, Johnny Flaws has relinquished the Jeep Yellow Leaders jersey heading into Bell's. He kind of just went down to a bit of a Californian beach break blitzkrieg. Lost out to Jake Marshall. I think it was in the round of 16. Yeah, it's just one of those things. The Californians are absolute wizards in these kinds of conditions. Mm. You know, this is their bread and butter. Your Newport, T Street kind of, shortish period, or at least like the junky kind of one and two hit section beach break scenario. They're so good in it, and they all went deep. Jake Marshall, Griffin, Crosby.
Crosby, yeah, he was my breakthrough performer too, by the way. Great showing so far for a rookie year. Far out, mate. He is on a heater. He'll be entrenched in that top 10 end of the season.
How about it? Two Colapintos in the top 10 after three events.
How hectic would that dinner conversation be the night before trestles if both Colapintos get in there? But he's got the legs. He's got the muscle. I think he's got real belief. And I would not be surprised if he's challenging for that top five, Smith.
Mm.
Like the Pacific leg, you know he's going to send it.
Mm.
You know. You know it.
Oh, yeah.
JJF, yeah.
Yeah.
I still liked the way that he surfed, even though there were kind of elements in that Marshall heat that was just a bit frustrating. Like, man, he looks so skatey. Like, that's the thing that him and Medina have in common is their boards just don't seem to sink into the water unless they want them to when he's pulling it through a big old hark. But I think that JJF, you know, probably a little bit of Slater-ish sort of, you know, that can't master enough, can't squeeze out enough pebbles onto the beach at Peniche to stay interested. Bells, he's won there. He's got form there. He'll be praying for juice, and I think we'll see him well and truly back in the mix. Surely at some point Medina and John are going to lock eyes on each other in this race at some point.
Mm. Shout out to Jake Marshall too. The backside hangers were a thing of beauty in that heat, and now finds himself eighth in the world after a pretty strong Hawaiian leg.
Wow.
I didn't see that coming
at all.
And you know, just ripping through the top 10 here, still no sign of a Brazilian in there. Italo at number 12 is the highest ranked Brazilian. And Medina at 15th, Iago at 17th. And, we're sitting pretty, pretty. Ethan Ewan, second in the world. Equal second with Johnny Flaws, Jack Robbo at 4th. Skipping over to the women's, we've got the Pickle still holding on to number one in the world, heading to Bells and looking to really consolidate her position atop the world rankings.
There was a little bit of a pin in the balloon of for the women in this event. Not a whole lot of scores got into the excellent range, Smivy. There was a heat, I think, between Soy Lindblad maybe and Carolyn Marks from memory that kind of got up into the... where both surfers were duking it out in that sort of near to excellent range. But I feel like we'll see a return to form on these long winding walls of Bills. If we get the surf, I just pray we do. But yeah, bit of a frustrating event for the women. Katie Simmers didn't fire. Molly didn't fire. Betty Lou surfed it good at times. But, you know, it just goes to show you when the chips are down, it's the experience that'll get you through. And that's what it ended up looking like. Yeah, for me, what's it all mean, mate? We got to get Cal Robbo and Chippo fired up for this Aussie leg. Got to all get down there, Swelly and Army style, and start beating the pots and pans for those two guys. The women, well, they need Swelly and Army and then some, but we've really got to fire up the girls. Yeah, I don't know, mate. It's pretty exciting when you think about it. You know, Geordie's still floating around in that top 10 combo. John has had results at Bills. Ethan is going to be the one to watch, but Jack Robbo, he'll be jonesing to get a result there, mate. Like, is there any comp that you want to win in this country more than Bills? Probably not.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was frothing for this Aussie leg, but, man, this stretch of tour, when you don't score in Portugal and then you go to, you know, Bells, it's a pretty soft open ocean, right? Heaps of push, but not much consequence in it. Margs, similar story. So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like this is Australia, man. Fuck, we've got some waves here. We've got plenty of waves that are fully blown too that we could offer up to the WSL. Snapper being the obvious one. Kind of still boggles my mind why we don't have a World Tour event there. Obviously got the Challenger Series event there. But, yeah, I just feel like we just need a bit more truth, Vaughn. Because
Australian truth you're talking about.
Yeah, some slabs, some hollow or rippable point breaks. Just the kind of waves that we actually surf.
Surely they'll be eyeballing the box this year, though.
You'd hope so.
After what the women did in Hawaii, like, there's no excuse if it's breaking over there. And don't forget Katie Simmers, Sierra Kerr, and Molly Picklum putting in sessions out there that were fucking legit.
How good would that be for women surfing to see a few heats run out in that 4 to 8 foot range?
Yeah.
They're more than good enough to surf it. And, yeah, look, it's going to not favour goofy footers, but look, that's just how it goes sometimes, you know. Like, fuck, get better at backside tube riding. It's doable. I've seen what Italo did out there on debut. And, let's not take the opportunity to prove themselves away from the women, nor the men for that matter. They've passed up the box too many times. So, yeah, praying for some box or North Point just to add a bit of consequence, a bit of truth, a bit of fireworks to what is an otherwise pretty pedestrian couple of waves on tour.
Early Easters don't traditionally fare well for Bells. It's moves around with Easter every year, so it's not just locked in on the calendar. And whenever we have a March Bells, it's a little bit of a worry. So, I don't know, we'll just fingers cross this one and hope for the best. Goat, Smithy, goat. Will he or won't he? Two events left before the mid-year cut. Is he going to show up? Is he going to blow up? Is he going to rain little goat petals all over this country and take off to some far-flung corner of the world that is juiced and pumping and consequential?
Jeez, it's wild, isn't it? 3 dirty thirds in a row for the 11th time world champ, greatest of all time. Hardly the testimonial year he was looking for, but something karmic about it, given that, look, he probably shouldn't have accepted that wild card. So I guess this is the comeuppance you get from the cosmic karmic coit kickers.
Mate, just before we go, I just want to bring two things to your attention. The Burton Automotive Pro, also known as Surfest, down in Newey, went off on the weekend. Jolie Vaughan, back-to-back winner. Can't think of the last person who have done that. It's got a few multiple champions, but he did that for the second year running to take out the regional QS. So congrats to Jolie Vaughan. Winter Vincent from Manly, Queenscliff, I believe. He finished second in that. And then in the women's, Ellie Harrison from Victoria took out Safi Vett. So the reason why I'm bringing this up, mate, is that's the end of the Australian regional qualifiers. So it starts sort of September last year and runs all the way through till now, which means we've got our Changers. We've got our new challenger, class of 2019. 2024, mate. So have a look at this name, these names. Tell me what you think of Australia's chances on the Chang in 24. In the men's, it'll be Joel Vaughan, Dakota Walters, Alistair Reginato, Jarvis Earl, Tully Wiley, the big unit from down Torquay. The big goose,
couple of backside third cracks, kapow.
Gets better, bruh. Oscar Berry, yeah. The big unit. And he's what? Angari by way of fucking somewhere up the coast, can't remember. And then, Winter Vincent by making that last final has also got in there. So that's our men's qualifiers. They'll join Dill Moffat and Morgs Sibley, who finished in the top 20 last year on the Cheng. They automatically qualify. And in the women's, it's got Ellie Harrison, Pip Anderson, Rosie Smart, and from New Zealand, Paige Harab and Safi Vett. So really young class there, man. Like that's, there's almost, other than Paige and Philippa, you're looking at a full clean out and a whole new generation hitting that Chang.
Mm. Yeah, Joel Vaughan surfing just screams World Tour at the moment. We know how much the judges eat up vert hits, and he's just got such great variation in the way he attacks it vertically. I can't see him not challenging the pointy end of the Challenger Series. Jarvis Earl and Dakota Walters, two just groms unleashed on the world. Yeah, surprise packets. Who knows what they're capable of? Obviously, Dakota's aerial game, second to none, super technical. He's got all the grabs down. He's got that big, whippy, rangy frame. He can just fully scorpion sting calves out of the top.
Whiplash sting,
bruh. One of the great nicknames.
He's so good. And look, I'm just so curious to see how big units like Tully and Oscar Berry go. They're big lads, mate.
Built for it, for sure. Oh,
fuck, mate. The Challenger Series, they could just dominate on there. Reginato, right, went on last year, learned a lot, but every single time you see that guy surf, he just seems to fucking grow a foot bigger. In the women's, mate, though, Rosie Smart from Coffs Harbour onto the Chang, huge doff to the Banana Coast. I don't think they've had someone on tour since Lee Wink, like, go the Ewok! And great stuff there. And just finally, mate, the Australian Pro, the Adaptive Surfing Championships are on right now in the Bay. Fuck, dude, the opening ceremony looked insane. Did you go down there?
I was down there.
Oh, I missed it.
It was classic. Went and met up with Brett Bircher, who was looking after one, or helping one of the athletes down there supporting. It was actually some of your best work, Smithy, you fucking idiot.
What have you done?
I was like, look, in my defense, look, there might have been a bit of stolen valor.
Yeah.
For Smithy.
Okay.
I've rocked up. I'm just yarning with Birch. I'm like, I couldn't figure out where the actual march was going. Like, I thought it was going down Johnson Street, the main drag, but it actually didn't. It kind of hooked straight around and went up along the beachfront there at the main beach car park. And next minute, the march has taken off and I'm just in it. I'm walking with Birch, yarning, and I'm looking around and there's Sam Mack from Stab, there's Rasta, there's, Andy the Mad Swelling, and I'm walking along with a compression bandage on my knees if I'm an adaptive athlete. What a disgrace.
Oh, I can't believe you haven't fucking got a rashie.
Oh, mate, and I got to the point halfway through it.
Did you get the marshalling desk and they're going, name?
They're applauding, the people, and I saw some of the quizzical looks from the likes of Andy the Mad Swelling. Smithy, what are you doing out there? And I said to Birch, look, I don't feel comfortable, man. And I just moonwalked to the side and joined the applauding throngs of humans, which is where I should have been from the very start.
God, that is so funny, mate. Jeez, especially with your knee brace.
I know. Stolen valor. What a disgrace.
But unbelievable effort from Mark Mono Stewart, who's pulled this thing together, man. And I'm so thrilled. I'm going to get down there and check it out tomorrow. If you want to check it out, I think there's a website that you can go to. It's just the Australian Pro Adaptive Surfing Championships. Check it out, mate. Absolute inspirational surfers in there.
How many times has he won this thing, Mono? The Byron Bay, Brad Nilo. He's coming on the program shortly.
Well, he's a five-time world champion now. He's heading for the Hall of Fame.
Kidding
me? And now he's giving back on this level, running a hometown event. Often these events are run overseas and especially the world events, hard to get to, and just fucking the drain on finances on top of, you know, every other challenge that you've got just to get there is fucking gnarly.
Mate, jeez, it was good, I tell you. The Basques, love the Basques, the big Basque contingent with the bodgiest little fucking twig with a flag attached to it. There was an American amputee doing cartwheels down the main drag, fucking screaming, Aussie, 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 up at the pub, and just getting the full, like, oh, mate, the transvestites on that top floor of that transvestite bar were just throwing their knickers at him.
Yeah, the balcony. In full pride mode. I love it up there. Yeah, mate, look, it's an epic event, and if that opening ceremony is going to go by, it is going to be a magic week in Byron. So check it out if you get the chance, Swellians. But Smithy, mate, can't wait to do the blitzed pre-Bells ramp up with you.
Competition surfing. Rashes.
Pure Tour Nerdism.